The House, please come to order. Will the members please show their presence by voting? Representative Byrne? Is there any member who's failed to vote? Clerk may take final roll.
36 present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representative O'Connell, Randolph, and Osterback are excused. I vote for Representative O'Connell's presence.
The prayer today is by Bishop Michael Kinney, who's the Roman Catholic Bishop of Juneau. Members, please rise for the prayer today.
An election year prayer. I'm running again, Lord, or at least I'm thinking of running. That's why I need your help. If I speak too softly, no one will hear. If I speak too loudly, someone may take offense. Make me speak truth, the truth men and women need to hear, the truth I need to hear. If I do nothing, someone may take note. If I do too much, I risk failure. Help me do right. Justice, peace, mercy. There are so many causes, so many concerns. It's difficult, it's confusing, it's challenging. Don't let me waste March or April on August or November. Amen.
Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the prayer be spread on the journal.
No objection, the prayer will be spread on the
every
journal.
Every day.
Chief Clerk, please certify as to the correctness of the previous day's journal.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 54th, 55th, and 56th days in House Journal Supplement number 25.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journals for the 54th, 55th, and 56th days in House Supplement number 25 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and journal supplements will stand approved. Guest for introduction to the House today, Representative Miller.
Speaker, I have two guests I'd like to introduce today. The first is a former constituent, now a constituent of Representative Eliasson's over in Sitka, and I believe most of you have had a chance to meet her before, Marlis Brunette, who's the Director of Public Relations for Sheldon Jackson College. And seated next to Marlis is Opal Sargent, who is an unpaid worker right now in called VIM, Volunteer and Mission, in Sitka at the Sheldon Jackson College. And the VIM program is the Presbyterian equivalent of the Peace Corps or the Vista Corps. Opal, who I had the pleasure of meeting yesterday, served in the Iowa House of Representatives from 1974 till 1978, representing five counties and 23 towns and 28,000 population, until she decided to retire from the political arena and go into volunteer work that she's doing now. So please join me in welcoming a former legislator from Anchorage, from Iowa.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I'd like to introduce a former House member and a person from my area, Chuck Degnan.
Chuck, as a former member of the body, do you have any words for us today? The further guests for introduction, Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, a former member of our staff in the Finance Committee when I was serving on the Finance Committee, Marlis Bennett.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Today I have two additional constituents of Representative O'Connell and mine in Gallery B, Paul Hansen and Duke Hansen. Mr. Speaker, they're here visiting with their father, who's sitting between the two of them, Mr. Jerry Hansen.
Messages from the Governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 577, making supplemental appropriations for the operating expenses of state government and providing for an effective date. Chapter 6, SLA 1980. House Bill 597, making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for the Iditarod Trail Race and providing for an effective date. Chapter 7, SLA 1980. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. Dear Mr. Speaker, under the provisions of Alaska Statute 2623-20C, I am hereby requesting an extension of the Disaster Emergency Proclamation for the Kodiak Island Borough for an additional 30 days. Such an extension is necessary because the denial of requested federal assistance will require reevaluating some of the affected areas. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has approved the following citations and they are returned. Honoring Juno Douglas High School drill team, honoring Mark Pusich All-Tournament Southeast basketball team, honoring Rich Eakins All-Tournament Southeast basketball team, honoring the Skagway drill team, honoring Flicker Red, honoring Art Skinner and Warren Endicott, in memoriam Margaret Weddle Gortz, honoring Charlotte Jane Perkins. These citations have been sent to enrolling. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees.
The House State Affairs Committee has had under consideration for sunset review the Collection Agency Board under AS 2420-271 and AS 4466-50. This has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. And I have several letters from Mike Miller, House State Affairs Committee, concerning sunset-like reviews, and these will be duplicated and placed in the supplemental journal, but they are on each member's desk. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Concurrent Resolution 47, requesting all branches of state government to cease authorization of travel to states which have failed to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Fuller, Miller, Parker, and Gardner. Having no recommendation, Eliason. Signing do not pass, Martin and Metcalf. House Concurrent Resolution Number 47 has no further referral. The Special Gas Pipeline Financing Committee has had House Concurrent Resolution 60, conditionally accepting the Gas Pipeline Financial and Alaska Impact Plan submitted by the Alaska Gas Pipeline Financing Authority under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 60 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, Chairman, concurred in by Miles, Gardner, Hayes, Parr, and Chatterton. House Concurrent Resolution Number 60 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Joint Resolution 62 relating to the Alaska Power Authority for the Tai'i Lake Hydroelectric Generating Project and the Swan Lake Hydroelectric Generating Project under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Freeman, Moss, McKinnon, Rogers, Montgomery, and Guy. Haugen signed, pass it fast. House Joint Resolution Number 62 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 667, Supplemental Appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for the North Slope Hall Road under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 667 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Eliason, Parker, Miles, Metcalf, and Fuller, Metcalf, and Gardner. House Bill 667 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is at House Bill 689, GO bonds for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements for water and sewer systems under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 689 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurring by Parker, Branson, Carney, Jaroff, and Parr. Metcalf has no recommendation. House Bill 689 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 820, Special Appropriation to the City of Unalaska to match a federal grant for restoration of an historical landmark under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 820 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, concurring by Munson, Chatterton, Buchholz, and Barnes. House Bill 820 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 846, a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for the program of state aid to local governments under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurring by Parker, Branson, O'Connell, Carney, Parr, and Jaroff. House Bill 846 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 425 amended, a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Education, Commission on Post-Secondary Education, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurring by Meekins, Moss, McKinnon, Rogers, Freeman, Guy, Montgomery, and Haugen. Senate Bill 425 amended has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
The House please stand at ease. The House please come back to order. Brings us to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring First Americans Emphasis Week by Representatives Duncan and Miller. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading and reference of House bills.
House Bill 948 by the Finance Committee, an act making an appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for completion of the Snettisham Hatchery and providing for an effective date. It was introduced with the following committee report. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 948 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurring by Meekins, Freeman, Rogers, Duncan, Montgomery, and Haugen.
Be referred to the Rules Committee.
House Bill 949 by the Judiciary Committee, an act annulling 15 AAC 54104 and providing for an effective date.
Be referred to Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 950 by the Finance Committee, an act making special appropriations to the Department of Revenue to provide partial interest payments on municipal bonds and providing for an effective date. It was introduced with the following committee report. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 950 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Freeman, Duncan, Rogers, Montgomery, and Haugen.
Be referred to the Rules Committee.
House Bill 951 by the Labor and Management Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Labor, Division of Employment Security, and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Management and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the Chief Clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 546 by the Judiciary Committee, an act increasing post-judgment interest rates. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 546 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 546 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Martin, O'Connell, Parr, Phillips, Buchholz, Anderson, Barnes, Brown, and Malone. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill number 546 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Judiciary Committee substitute will be accepted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill number 546 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. The Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill number 546 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 546 by the Judiciary Committee, an act increasing prejudgment and post-judgment interest rates.
Is there a debate? The question before the House is the final passage of Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 546. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 546 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next bill on the calendar.
House Bill 670 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Labor, Division of Workers' Compensation, and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Labor and Management has had House Bill 670 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 670 and attaches a letter of intent and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Hurlburt, Chairman, concurred in by Hayes, Rogers, Branson, and Hurlburt. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 670 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 670, Finance, and recommends that it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Duncan, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Haugen, Guy, Schaefer, and Montgomery. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill Number 670 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Finance Committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before advancing the bill, I'd like to ask a question. I see that Section 3, if I've got the right bill in front of me here, says the sum of $5,000 is being appropriated to draft a workman's compensation handbook for injured workers. Speaker, I think that's a good idea, but I've got two questions on it. Number one is this sum of $5,000 adequate, and if so, how is that determined? And number two, Section 5 would have that $5,000 lapse June 30th of this year. And so the question is that sufficient time to get the project underway, even if the funds are sufficient?
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When we took up this bill in Labor and Management, we discussed the Workers' Compensation Handbook. And the reason for doing a handbook is that we found in a number of the states which have them, their rate of litigation is lower. That is, if the injured worker knows what his or her rights and responsibilities are, they're less likely to have to go to an attorney, and they're more likely to use the system as it is. In Labor and Management, we didn't have an estimate of the cost, and so the letter of intent from Labor and Management said asked Finance to consider it. We got a letter from Jackie McClintock, the director of the Division of Workers' Comp, which estimated the total cost of the handbook at $21,400, of which $5,000 would cover the drafting and the rest would cover the printing and mailing. The department recommended that the $5,000 be put in FY80 and the remaining $16,400 in FY81. Our rationale for this division of funds would be to allow ample time for the parties to review and provide constructive comments and additions. In other words, they didn't feel they could get to printing before FY81. The intent is that the remaining $16,400 would go on the FY81 budget.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Finance Committee substitute for House Bill Number 670 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 670 will be engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 670, Finance, by the Finance Committee. An act making appropriations to the Department of Labor Workmen's Compensation Division and providing for an effective date.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill grew out of some interim work by the House Labor and Management Committee on the problems of workers' comp. The First, Section 1 appropriates $54,000 to finance five new positions in the division. There's a terrible backlog. Claimants are not getting their cases heard within the statutory time. This $54,000 would add a new hearing officer in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau, and two clerical backup positions, and would allow those positions to start approximately April 1st if the bill passes the other body by then. We also added a second section, which was in the governor's FY81 capital budget, appropriating $211,000 for a computer information system. This would also try to speed up the whole process of workers' compensation, would allow claimant information to be updated online, to allow inquiries to be made from any of the workers' comp offices, microfilming of files, and what's possibly most important, a legal digest of workers' comp decisions. I would make one comment on this. The original bill was to the making an appropriation to the Division of Workers' Compensation. There is no Division of Workers' Compensation. There's a Division of Workmen's Compensation, and until we change the statute, we have to use the word workmen's instead of workers. My recommendation to this body in the future would be that when the opportunity comes, we make that change to conform with the national use of the word workers on workers' comp.
The further debate. Question before the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 670. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 670 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Finance Committee substitute for House Bill number 670 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. Roll call and final passage will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Joint Resolution number 71 by Carney, relating to the Baggage Bogs Visitors Center. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Joint Resolution 71 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Eliason, Gardner, Martin, and Parker. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Can we have a brief at East
Point? House, please stand. There was a problem on the last vote on House Bill 670. Representative Brown, your vote did not register. You were present, so we'll have to void that roll call. The question before the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 670. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I meant to make this remark earlier. I think that the recommendations that are contained, or from which this appropriations bill springs, are well-founded. I know that in my district there are a small number of people that have been seriously disadvantaged by the slow processing of claims and by the lack of information on the workers' comp system, and I applaud the committee for getting this legislation through.
The question before the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 670. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll. Committee substitute for House Bill number 670 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 670 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Joint Resolution number 71 by Carney, relating to the Baggage Bogs Visitor Center. Excuse me. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Joint Resolution 71 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Elias, and Gardner, Martin, and Parker. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution Number 71 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Joint Resolution Number 71 be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the resolution in third reading.
House Joint Resolution Number 71 by Carney, relating to the Begage Bogs Visitor Center.
The question for the House is the final passage of House Joint Resolution Number 71. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? The clerk may take final roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
House Joint Resolution Number 71 has passed the House. Would clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Joint Resolution Number 82 by the Judiciary Committee, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to annulment of regulations by the legislature. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Joint Resolution 82 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 82 and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman. Concurred in by Parr, Anderson, Martin, Barnes, Buchholz, Brown, and Malone. Phillips has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 82 be adopted in lieu of the original resolution.
There's no objection. The Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 82 will be adopted in lieu of the original resolution. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, can we have it on the east, please?
House, please stand. Will the session please come back to order? Will the Chief Clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number one by Mr. Cotton. Page one, line 13. Between of and each, add the membership of.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Is there objection? There is objection.
All right, this is a matter of explanation. There has been some confusion in the past over what it means by a majority. I know that different presiding officers of these two bodies have ruled different ways on it. And I think the intention of the Judiciary Committee, and it would be my intent that 21 votes and 11 votes would be required to approve the resolution. Adopting the resolution that would annul the regulation. And there is some confusion. Sometimes on a concurrent resolution, you only need a majority of those present. So I wanted to make sure that we met and specified that it took a majority of the body.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I know it was my intent that we would have had 21 votes to do this, and I think the amendment is a good one, though it does make it quite clear that that's what we're talking about. So I support the amendment.
Is there objection? There's no further objection. The amendment will be adopted. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Judiciary Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 82, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 82 as amended by the House will be engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage. Will the clerk please read the resolution in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 82 amended by the Judiciary Committee, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to annulment of regulations by the legislature.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, on February the 19th, the Alaska Supreme Court said that the legislature did not have the power to annul regulations by concurrent resolution. This procedure, Mr. Speaker, was established in the first Alaska State Legislature in 1959. A lot of the members of that body had been members of the Constitutional Convention. I think, have been doing that ever since, and the Supreme Court in a rather long opinion, and one whose logic is sometimes difficult to follow decided that was no longer permissible. So all that the resolution, all that the constitutional amendment does, if voters approve it, is put things back to the way they've been going for the last 20 years.
Is there Representative Malone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, as the committee report indicates, I do support the resolution that proposes a constitutional amendment. One point, though, that I think that the legislators might consider is to whether, in general, under the enabling legislation that is written by the legislature, is too much authority granted to write regulations to state agencies? I think that the answer for me to that question is yes. I think that probably that the tendency to do that might go all the way back to the beginning of this state, where it was necessary to write that kind of legislation to allow executive flexibility to establish a state government. We're past that point by a long ways now. And so I would urge the members and the committees and their consideration of legislation not to make the grant of regulatory authority broader than necessary in any bill. But, Mr. Speaker, I do support the resolution, and I think that the regulatory law causes probably more frustration sometimes for our constituents than it does for the legislators, and I think that it does provide a simple and effective mechanism for addressing the question of errant regulations.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm quite sure that the members of the court who expressed their views on this area really quite honestly believe they were right, and under the doctrine of judicial supremacy, what they say the law is, it is. And I'm not questioning their motives at all. I believe that they each believed they were right. It was not a unanimous decision. And I think that the unfortunate result, probably or almost certainly not intended by them, but the unfortunate result is to increase the authority of administrative agencies and decrease the authority of this legislature. Mr. Speaker, all of the agencies are created by the legislature, the ones who can promulgate regulations, except for the rule of court power that the court itself has in its own area. And it is an area where we have given too much regulatory authority. Like Mr. Malone, I have concerns about doing this too much, and in recent years we have, in fact, been reluctant to, rather than just say, well, let's not define this, let's just leave it up to the department and regulations. More and more, the legislature is being far more careful in its drafting of legislation so that unnecessary regulation do not become necessary. But, Mr. Speaker, I certainly support the resolution, and I hope it does pass overwhelmingly, but, Mr. Speaker, in the related matter that was discussed by the previous speaker, for about the last 3 years, I've had the Legislative Affairs Agency looking at a question that is something of a work order request nightmare, and that is to what extent can we or dare we, after all this time, I think we should try, remove one certain area of regulatory authority that I think should never have been in administrative agencies, and that is the ability to create and abolish crimes. There was a challenge to that ability brought in a Supreme Court of Alaska case, I think, in the first year of statehood. It was called Boyle versus Sabre Jet Room, and it dealt with the authority of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, but the general authority it dealt with was any administrative agency. Some jurisdictions, Mr. Speaker, have ruled that a legislature cannot constitutionally delegate its authority to create and abolish crimes to administrative agencies. The Supreme Court of Alaska did not find that was the case in Alaska. And as a result, we have 20 years of a buildup of regulations so that somebody can actually have the sanctions of criminal penalties worked against them without any legislator in this chamber or the other chamber ever voting on anything at all, and very often with very minimal administrative due process standards being followed as to the notice of the change in a regulation. Sometimes that due process involves as little as posting a notice on a clipboard in the McKay building and putting something in 4 or 6 point type in the back of the Anchorage Times.
Mr. Speaker, after we address this issue, I hope that we do address the other very closely related issues about our improper delegation of administrative authority and other abuses of administrative authority. I strongly support the resolution.
House Joint Resolution number 82 is a constitutional amendment requiring 27 votes. Question before the House is committee substitute for House final vote on committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 82 is amended. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 82 as amended has passed the House. Completes today's calendar and brings us to unfinished business. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we return to introduction of guests?
Under introduction of guests.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, we have with us today Ms. Maggie Hanford, the wife of Brooks Hanford, visiting us from Seattle, Washington.
There are further guests for introduction.
It's a lady who comes to a lot to our meetings lately and very active in the senior citizens movement in the state, Florence Barnhart.
If there's no objection, we'll revert to messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate failed to recede from its amendment to committee substitute for House Bill number 599, namely committee substitute for House Bill number 599, amended Senate, authority of the Board of Game and the Department of Fish and Game over domestic mammals. The President appointed the following members to a free conference committee to meet with the like committee from the House to consider the above bills. Senator Ray Chairman, Senator Curtula, Senator Mulcahy. The House members are Carney, Brown, and Hayes.
I'm sure all of our House members wish our free conference committee good luck. Brings us back to unfinished business. Are there any items of unfinished business to come before the House? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources will meet today at 3 o'clock. As well, I might add, as on Wednesday, to take up House Bills 753 and 754 and other legislation on the hydroelectric funding mechanism. This is phase two of the House Energy Package hearings.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, House State Affairs will meet today at room 102 at 1:30. We'll take up first special appropriation to DOTPF for an airport runway. And we'll take up two House Joint Resolutions regarding the upgrading of the White Pass and Yukon route. Then the House Bill 782, Local Service Roads and Trails, and House Bill 746, Overtime Compensation and a Flex Time Plan. Then, Mr. Speaker, this evening at 7:30 in the committee chambers, not in the courtroom where we frequently have met, but in the committee chambers, we'll be having a teleconference on House Bill 927. That bill sets up the programs and activities which will be up for sunset review next year. So I would urge members to be prompt, because we will be having testimony from other communities. That's at 7:30. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, at 9:15 tomorrow, not at 8 a.m., the House Commerce Committee will meet in a work session with subcommittees, and Mrs. Munson will be chairing that meeting, and I hope I'll be calling in from the Anchorage International Airport about 10 minutes into it so I can participate by speakerphone. Also, Mr. Speaker, in the circulated committee report or committee schedule for this week, there was an erroneous deletion for March 14, Friday. There's a description of what we're doing with the bill, but no indication what the bill is. That's House Bill 934, which is the telecommunications reorganization bill.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary will meet at 3 this afternoon. We have work sessions on the parole board and the Bar Association sunset reviews.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This afternoon, 1:30, the Hess Committee will work on House Bill 651. It will be a continuing markup.
Representative Hilbert. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, a Finance Committee will meet at 2 o'clock. We will consider Senate Bill 292 requiring, it's a bill requiring fiscal notes for regulations having fiscal impact. House Bill 576, a special appropriation legislative council to resettle refugees. HCR 41, regarding study feasibility of resettling Indo-Chinese in Alaska. Those are Mr. Miller's bills. Also, the income tax subcommittee will report back to the full committee on the recommendations. In addition to that, the chairman has asked me to announce that the ad hoc committee on loans will continue work on the draft at 4:30 this afternoon.
Further announcements. One announcement, the House will not be in session on this Friday, the 14th. We'll be taking a long weekend for the members' notification. But on Monday, we will be meeting at 10 a.m. in the morning. Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, I give notice of reconsideration on HJR 71.
This notice of reconsideration on House Joint Resolution 71. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I had not known that we were going to be taking Friday off. I had very much wanted to have the hearing on Friday morning on House Bill 934, so I wonder if the members of the Commerce Committee could let me know what their plans are. I'd really like to try to still have that meeting, which would start public industry and effective state agency testimony.
The further announcements, special orders. Representative Moss.
Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to take about a half a minute here, a little bit more, talk about the power of the press, and they're helping us get into a new industry in Alaska.
Representative Moss.
You know, we had an article that went out across the nation here. In fact, it must have gone all the way into Dover, New Hampshire, and it has to do with some of the stuff that we're trying to produce up in the Delta area there, namely buffalo chips and a few other things. And I might, if you bear with me a minute, read a letter that I got from all the way from over at New Hampshire there requesting us to set up a new renewable resource between the two states. The thing about it, I don't know whether there's any relationship between the man who wrote this and my good friend on the back corner back there, but I'll read it anyway. There might be. It says, "Dear Mr. Moss, our local paper recently carried a very interesting article concerning Delta Frisbees, a product of the buffalo herds in your area. I enjoyed this article very much. As a typical American, I feel the buffalo is a symbol of our country, a tradition I believe most Americans are interested in. The tales of the Old West associated with the buffalo and their chips. I'd like very much to market Delta Frisbees as conversation pieces such as Pet Rocks. Perhaps you or one of your associates would like to join me in this venture. Please advise price and shipping charges per 100 and 1,000 quantities of cargo dried buffalo chips. Don't quote sending freshies. I'd also like a sketch of the dimensions of one of these gizmos so I can design an attractive, fast-selling display container for every American home. This container will carry a brief history of the buffalo and their chips. Also, every container will be certified to contain a genuine Delta Frisbee. P.S. Better still, send me a dried sample. Very truly yours, G.J. Brown." I don't know whether my friend... This is from Dover, New Hampshire, Mr. Speaker, and it just goes to show you the power of the press and in inducing us to get into a nationwide industry from Alaska. Thank you, sir, very much.
Mr. Speaker, point of personal privilege.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the only relatives I have in New Hampshire are named Chase and, I beg your pardon, Taft. No Browns.
Further special orders. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, we adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. We adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.